find gold and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, trembling and astonishment had come upon them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, this morning, as we think about that first Easter, I need a couple of volunteers to come and give me a hand to play a game. Anybody up for doing that?
Anybody else? Yeah?
This is, come and stand on the step here so everyone can see you. Great. Now then, Lauren and Elliot, right, we've got to, well, the game is this. What you have to do is you've got to answer some questions that I'm going to put to you, but you mustn't say yes and you mustn't say no. Okay? So let's try Lauren first then. Are you going to school tomorrow?
Maybe.
Have you got any chocolate eggs for Easter?
Possible.
Are you going away for the holidays?
Did you
sleep last night?
Maybe.
Have you got a nose on your face?
No.
No one has got a nose on his face. Fair enough, okay. Right, we need somebody else to come in. I haven't done very well so far. Come on. Yeah, go on, both of you. Yeah, go on. You're going to stand up there as well? Is it snowing outside?
Maybe.
Have you ever seen a white Easter before? It's getting difficult, this, isn't it? Do you take size 8 shoes?
Of course not.
Do you take size 5 shoes?
No.
Ah, excellent. We caught her out. We caught her out. Somebody made a mistake. Sorry about that, Sarah. It's good. Well done, everybody. Go and sit down. You can have your rewards later when we do our Easter egg hunt. That game was designed to get people to make mistakes. It's actually quite difficult to keep going, answering questions, not saying yes or no. They're words we use so often. And one of the things about life that you can be sure of is that people do make mistakes. You might have made a mistake this morning when you woke up and thought it was Christmas rather than Easter. But of course, it is Easter this morning. Now that very first Easter Sunday, the people we read about in Mark's Gospel, they made some mistakes. But their mistakes can help us to see what Easter is about, and also help us not to make the same mistakes that they did. Now I need somebody else to give me a hand at this point, just to hold something up. No one's going to volunteer. Now, you might just regret this, actually. I hope. You need to put these gloves on first, because what I'm going to give you is fairly potent stuff, actually. Make sure you've got your gloves on. Health and safety. Right, there you are. Can I hold it up? Now then, does anybody know what that is? Anybody know what it is? No, it's not paint. Looks like it, doesn't it? Yeah?
Perfume.
No, it's not perfume either. Not bubble bath, you know? It's not washing it with it either. So I'll tell you what it is. It's actually, wait for this, it's actually embalming fluid.
Oh.
Now, it's the sort of thing that's used with dead bodies to preserve them for a while. Now, we've got some embalming fluid this morning here in church, because actually those women who went to the tomb that morning had something very, very similar. They had spices, you might remember. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. You see, they'd gone to pay respect to Jesus' dead body. And that was the first mistake that was made that Easter morning. You see, it was a mistake to go with spices, because it wasn't necessary to try and preserve Jesus' body. Jesus' body wasn't there. In fact, Jesus was no longer dead. And this is the historical truth that the Bible points us to. Jesus was raised from the dead that first Easter. Now, the mistake of those followers of Jesus that Easter morning is one of the reasons that have persuaded millions of people that Jesus really is alive, and there are lots of good reasons to believe it. How else could it be explained? See, Jesus' tomb was really empty. The place Jesus had been laid could be seen by eyewitnesses. There were people that saw it, and they wrote down what they'd seen, as we read. And also, the burial cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' body, in John's account of the resurrection, we discover, they could be seen as if a body had sort of passed through them, and they were just lying there. And what's more, Jesus appeared to many people. He was seen by large numbers, including the two Marys and Salome, who we read about. And also we're told that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at once, and several others as well. And people touched Jesus. They ate with him and spoke with him. So Jesus' tomb was empty. He was seen by many people alive. And amazingly, something happened that totally transformed the disciples of Jesus. You will remember that when Mary and the others went to the tomb, they went with something like that, embalming fluid. They thought Jesus' body was going to be there, and they were just going to put some spices on it to preserve it. But they found that he wasn't there. And at the end of the reading, we heard this. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And in John's Gospel, we hear that Mary Magdalene, one of those people we read about this morning, later on was full of joy. And she told her friends, "I have seen the Lord Jesus." So before that first Easter day, the disciples had been devastated. They'd been completely demoralized. Afterwards, well, they were full of confidence. And they went energetically around proclaiming that Jesus is alive. They were even prepared to be killed in order to stand up for Jesus. Now, one of our favourite pastimes as a family is reading stories out loud to each other. And some that we really like are the short stories of Sherlock Holmes. He, of course, is the world's most famous fictional detective. Now, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, his creator, put these words into Sherlock's mouth on one occasion. "When you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth." Well, you know, the evidence for Jesus coming back from the dead is very, very persuasive. Even though dead men don't come back from the dead usually, but of course nothing is impossible for God. And when you look at the evidence, when you examine it, you can see that the most reasonable explanation is that indeed Jesus did rise from the dead. Now, if you want to look into the evidence for the resurrection a little bit more, well, then there is a link on our church website, also at Ferriby Church website, to the Be Thinking website, which gives some helpful indicators as to where we can find out more about the reasonableness and how, in fact, it is the most plausible thing to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. So that was the first mistake that Easter morning. The women went thinking that Jesus' body was there, but he wasn't there. He was alive. God had brought him back from the dead. Now I need somebody else to come and hold something else up just for a moment. Can we put it back there? Yes, thank you very much.
If you'd just like to hold that picture up, do you know what it is?
It is.
It's the tomb. Do you want to hold it up so people can see it?
There's the tomb with the entrance. It's like a cave and a huge big stone that's been moved to the side. And Jesus' tomb would have been something a bit like that one, which is from the same part of the world. Now, that was the second mistake, that the women went to the tomb. You see, they were looking for Jesus, the one who was the most important person to them, but they weren't looking in the right place. So we read, entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they'd laid him." Now, sometimes people think of Jesus as just a figure from the past. Someone people in days gone by were interested in. Some even think that Jesus died and that was it. Some sort of spiritual hero who gave some inspiring teaching but then was defeated and so isn't really of any great importance. So many people think that Jesus is just like other famous people who are connected with deeply held beliefs. But the historical fact of the resurrection, the truth that God raised Jesus from the dead, means that Jesus is like no other. A popular writer once put it like this: the bones of Lenin are in Moscow, the bones of Muhammad are in Medina, the bones of Buddha are in India, but in Jerusalem is the empty tomb. Do you remember the words of the angel? "You look for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he is risen. He is not here." Jesus is alive. Jesus, with his transformed, resurrected body, is now ruling from heaven at God the Father's right hand. And also, by his Holy Spirit, he is here with us. Sadly, though, you know, it's possible to miss out on the truth that Easter proclaims. We can miss out on the fact that Jesus is alive if, like those women on that first Easter morning, we fail to look for truth in the right place. You see, Jesus is no dead prophet. He's alive. He's present with us through his Spirit. And what he spoke then, as we have it in the Bible, he speaks now. What he promised then in his written word, he works out now in human lives, giving hope of eternal life, promising victory over death. The angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Well, we're going to think about a third and final mistake in a few moments' time. But first we're going to sing of Jesus who rose up from the grave. Number 633 in the hymn book.
Thank you.
remember that there were mistakes made that first Easter morning. The first one was taking embalming spices. And, of course, come on here. And that wasn't necessary, was it? Because Jesus is alive. His body had gone. The second mistake was to look for the truth in the wrong place. Jesus is not locked in the past. He's alive and at work in today's world. Well, there was a third mistake. And that's to do with what the angel said to the women. Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now, can somebody else come and hold something up for me? You hold the Bible up. You see, one of the striking things when you read through Mark's Gospel, a bit of which we read this morning, is that on several occasions, Jesus predicts, before it happens, that he's going to die and then he's going to rise again. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him. After 3 days he will rise. After I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Now you see, the problem that these ladies had that morning was that they didn't know, or that they'd forgotten, that Jesus and his death and resurrection were foretold by Jesus and actually foretold and explained in their Bible. They didn't realise that God makes clear in his written word the significance of Jesus dying and rising. Now, what some of us may have heard this last week on the news, that the think tank Theos published research that claimed that over half of people in our country believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And yet it seems far fewer understand why what happened that first Easter is so important. Earlier in his Gospel, Mark tells us that Jesus had begun to explain the meaning of his death. And he said that his death was, he died so that he would be a ransom for many. A ransom for many. Now, something else we've heard on the news this week is, of course, the serious situation with our financial system. Many tell us that it's in great danger. Banks have been lending money that they don't have, and debts are built up, and so banks and people can't pay. Well, what we see from the Bible is that all people are in debt with God. We owe God a life of living for him, as the God who's given us life in the first place. But we've turned away from him and put ourselves at the centre of our lives and pushed God aside. And that's very serious because it cuts us off from God. But, remember, Jesus said he died as a ransom for many. His death can pay off the debt that human beings owe God. And even more than that, he can fill our spiritual account with lots of credit before God. So, Jesus' messenger, the Apostle Paul, writing about what the Christian faith is centred on, says this: Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and he rose from the dead on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So Jesus, as he died, became the ransom payment, paying for the forgiveness of sins, opening up the way to God. And his resurrection was the sign that he'd finished paying for our forgiveness. And finished paying in full. The job was done. Now, last week I took out our parish assistant Armand out for a meal at the Duke of Cumberland. Now, this didn't happen. But just imagine that at the end of the meal, I suddenly realised I'd come out without any money. And I sheepishly tell Armand that that's the situation. But because he thought I was paying, he hadn't brought any money either. However, to spare my embarrassment, Armand calls over the manager and says, "We've unfortunately forgotten to bring any money, so can I wash up in the kitchen to pay for the meal?" Well, he agrees an hour's work for each course. And then he disappears behind the swing doors into the kitchen. The question then is, how do I know when Armand has finished? How do I know when it's all been paid for and I'm free to walk out of the restaurant? The answer is when Armand comes back through the swing doors and reappears. Well, on Good Friday, it's as if Jesus went behind the swing doors of death to pay for sins. And on Easter Sunday, it's as if he came back through them and reappeared to show us that he'd finished, that he'd paid in full for all the forgiveness that you and I might ever need. So you see, Easter is about God making it possible to forgive us, to welcome us back into relationship with him. And it's about his invitation to join in the adventure of living for him, whoever we are and whatever we've done. So don't make the mistake that those two Marys and Salome made that first Easter Sunday. That mistake of not knowing what God has made clear in the Bible. Because the vital and wonderful significance is that Jesus died for our sins and his rising proves that he has made forgiveness possible and can offer eternal life. Well, as we say, we all make mistakes. And that's certainly true, isn't it, when we think of ourselves as imperfect human beings. And this morning we've seen something of the mistakes that were made that first Easter day. But also they point up for us important things. So you remember the first mistake, taking the embalming materials? They didn't need it because Jesus is alive. The second mistake was looking in the wrong place for truth. Jesus is not stuck in the past. He rules from heaven. And the truth we see about him in the Bible is vibrantly real and true now. He's at work in today's world by his Holy Spirit. And the third mistake was not knowing what God had said and says about Jesus and his death and resurrection and what it means as the Bible records it. Jesus died as a ransom. His death was for the forgiveness of sins. And his resurrection was the sign that he'd completed his work. And the way to God is open. Death has been defeated. And eternal life is on offer to all who call on him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you raised Jesus from among the dead. Thank you for that evidence that it is to the world of his work being finished on the cross of paying for forgiveness. Help us to open our hearts afresh to him this Easter, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And thank you very much to you three for standing up there and holding those. Thank you very much.